Okay, today's shiur is Masechet Shabbos, Daf Yud Zayin. We're going to begin on Daf Tes Zayin on the base, two lines from the bottom. So we're in the middle of the Yud Ches Tavar, middle of the 18 Gzeiros. Before we begin this Gzeira, we have to say an introduction. A mess, a corpse, is Avi Avos Tumah. It's the highest level of Tumah. A mess can make a person an Av HaTumah in a number of ways. One way is if the person actually touches or carries the mess. That's called Maga or Masa. Then there's some unique Tumas to mess, which is called Tumas Oil. Tumas Oil really has three situations. One case is where the mess is directly on top of the human being. It makes no difference then what, when, where, the human being becomes tummy. The other case is when the person is directly on top of the mace. Also the same halacha, the person becomes tummy. And then there's the third case, which is the classical case, which is tumas oil, when a person is in the same room as a mace. However, for room to be considered a room, that it will have, that will be considered an oil, it has to have a ceiling that's at least a tefach big. Otherwise, it's not considered a room. Now let's go to the next thing in introducing this Gemara. And that is the halacha of what happens when somebody becomes tamei mes. So somebody has tumas oil of a mes. He has to go through the process of the paraduma of the mechatos, which is a process that takes at least a week. If somebody touches something that's an avatumma, that means if a person touches another person, that person's a Rishon, and I touch somebody, that person's an Av, and I touch and I become a Rishon, then all I need is going to the mikveh and Herev Shemesh, waiting for sunset. Now we'll begin the Gemara. Vidach Maihi. What's the next case? The Tanan. Kol metafel mevien satuma ba'ovi hamardeya. A mardeya is a goad. G-O-A-D. It was a stick used by shepherds to push the animals along, and it had a standard size. The size was that it had a circumference of a tefach, and there's a mathematical fact that something's width is a third of its circumference. So if this stick has a circumference of a tefach, its width is only a third of a tefach. And what the Gemara is saying is that the Mishnah Masechet Olah says that if you have a stick which serves as a, which is a third, in, which is a tefach in circumference, that stick could be served as an oil. So if that stick will be over you, over a person, and over a mess, that person will be considered an avatumah, because he was in the oil of a mess, even though the stick is only a third of a tefach wide. Amar Rav Tarfon. So Rav Tarfon uses a very strong language. Akapeach Espani, I'm ready to sacrifice my son. That's what Rashi learns. I'm ready to have my son cut off. The person who heard this halacha made a mistake, made an error, and he said something which doesn't make any sense. That's how Rashi learns. Tosfos learns it was a lashon shvuah. He was making a shvuah that this halacha is completely incorrect, and he was swearing by his son's life. And even though, as we will learn, Rav Tarfon wasn't completely wrong, we know the rule is that Kilas Chacham Afila Tanaiba, even if he made the Klala with a condition, which the condition is a met, but the Klala comes true, and he actually lost his son. Just to teach us how important we have to be with our words. So it says like this. How did this person who quoted this Mishnah come to make a mistake? It was a case like this. Ha'icha Oiver. You had this farmer who was walking, and the gold was on his shoulders, and one part of the stick stuck out over a kever, and they made him tamei. Now the truth is that he is tamei, but he doesn't have, says Rav Tarfon, a tumas oil. What he has is a rishon l'tuma. How is he a rishon l'tuma? The stick is over the mace. We said in our introduction that anything that's directly over the mace doesn't have to have a shear. So that stick became an avatuma. This person, this farmer, was holding the stick, so he became a rishon latuma. So says Rav Tarfon, yes, the farmer holding the stick that went over the kever is tamei, but not like we began the shear with a tumas oil that would require 7 days. What he's going to require is just 1 day, because he's a rishon latuma and he has to go to the mikveh and have harav shemesh. So that's where Rav Tarfon says there's no special gzeira here. Comes along Rav Akiva. Amar Rav Akiva, ani asakein shehi dvar derech chacham kayamim. I will explain it in a way that what the Chachzal said, that there is a tumas oil here, is explainable. Shemikol matapim avias a tuma al adam shenoy seisam by the madeya. Rav Akiva says like this: there is a difference between a ceiling, I'll say it outside and then we'll learn the Gemara inside, and a stick that's being carried by a person. A ceiling has to have a tefach to be considered an oil. If it isn't a tefach, it's not an oil. Here, this person is tamei midaraisa. He's a rishon tamei midaraisa, because he's holding a stick which is tamei, which is an avatuma, because it's directly above the kever. A person in such a situation is a rishon tamei. However, he could easily see himself as being an amoritz, could easily get confused and believe, you know what, why am I just a rishon? Maybe I'm considered like it was an oil mess. The stick I was carrying was over the mess. The stick has a tumas oil on it. And then he'll make the mistake and believe, you know, that somebody who's an avatuma doesn't require just 1 day, doesn't require 7 days. 1 day is enough. Not realizing that he doesn't require the 7 days, because it's only really a rishon latuma. So that's what he said, that whenever a person carries a stick, and that stick, even if it isn't a tefach wide, goes over a mess or a kever, he should get a tumas oil. That was a special gzeres chazal. But it's strictly limited to the person who's carrying a stick. Not that any width, not that whenever you have just an oil that's not a tefach wide, you'll be tamei. Shehei kolam atatlam avias a tumma al odam shenois naisam. Tumma, there will be a tumas oil, a tumma of 7 days, when a person carries a stick, but over a madeya, even if it's just the width of a madeya, which we said is a third of a tefach, vel atzmon, and the stick itself, the koshein, because we said that anything that's over a mess has no minimum. Vel shar odam akelim, but everything else needs b'seich tefach. If you want to be considered that you're in the same oil as a mess, it has to have a wall of a tefach. So Rabbi Kiva is limiting what we said. We started the shear that you could have an oil that's just a tefach, that's just even less than a tefach. Now we're saying that rule is a little extreme. What the Gemara is saying is, it's only said by a situation where somebody's carrying the stick, and the person carrying the stick will have a tumas oil. The Sosemis makes a very nice point. He says, look at Rabbi Kiva's loshin. He says, ani asakein sheyidviri chacham kayamim. I'm going to fix. Why does he use the lashon asakein? Asakein means to fix. He should have said, ani achriya. I'm going to decide. So Sfasema says, because Rabbi Kiva saw the Mishnah, and he saw a problem in the Mishnah. If a stick that was saying, even though it's not a tefach wide, has a din of an oil, so why only is the farmer who's holding the stick tamei, and not anything under the stick? So he realized that something is unique here. The uniqueness is that the farmer is a rishon who may get confused and think he's an av. But that's limited to the farmer, not to anything else. B'am Rav Yamai, continues the Gemara, U'madeish Amru, the Madeira was speaking about, we explained this at the beginning, Mar, Ein ba'ovya tefach. Its actual width isn't a tefach. However, v'yesh be'kefa tefach. It has the circumference of a tefach. And something has the circumference of a tefach, the width will be a third of that. The gozer al-kefoy, mishim avyoy. And the reason they made this gzeri was because some of you get confused and think that even when it's a width of a tefach, it's not an oil, which is not true. Ask the Gemara. Obviously, Rav Tarfon doesn't agree with this. So Rav Tarfon is missing one of the Yud Ches Dover. Ask the Gemara. Rav Tarfon, Doma Kapechas Gemini, Shalach Zum Kupachas. Rav Tarfon says that this halach is completely incorrect. So he's missing one of the Yud Ches Dover. And it says the Gemara, Amar Rav Nachman by Yitzchak, af benois kutum nidois marisosim by b'yom gozru. We learned yet v'idach svilei kremeya. Yesterday we had a shaila. We spoke, we're not going to review the whole Gemara, but we spoke about a situation where you had water collecting in a pail, and with that water, under all circumstances, be ma'im shuvim to pass la mikvah. Remei said under certain circumstances it is, and Rabbi Yossi says it isn't. So we asked the question, according to Rabbi Yossi, we're missing one of the Yud Ches Tavar. So he said that Rabbi Yossi includes the fact that they decree that all Kutian girls from the day they're born are considered like Nidus. So Rav Tafra will also include that as one of the Yud Ches Tavar, but he won't eliminate the din of the Mayim Shuvim. There he'll agree with Rav Meir that the Mayim Shuvim is one of Yud Ches Tavar, so he's able to compensate for this missing one at this point. Vidach, the next case. The next case also requires an introduction. The aloch is, we said it many times already, that for food to be makabel tumah, it has to be mukhsh lakabel tumah. Mukhsh lakabel tumah means it has to become wet. Now, if you carry a basket, you're cutting grapes to take them to the winery to crush them, the grapes will, with the pressure of all the grapes in one basket on top of each other, juice will flow out. And that juice is juice that you're not looking to press the grapes at this point. You didn't get to the grape crush. But that grape is, that juice comes out. And the question is that juice considered liquid that could be machshir the grapes, the kabotoma? So this is the next xera. Haboitz legas. Somebody's cutting grapes to put it into a basket to take it to the wine press. Shamay am hukshir. Shamay says it becomes hukshir at that point. Now there's a very big machlokes rishonim how to learn this gemara. Most rishonim learn the gemara when actual juice comes out of the grape. Even though I didn't ask for that juice, I didn't do anything to bring that juice, but since juice came out, and that's normal that the juice should come out, it's machshir the grape. The Rambam says a bichidush. The Rambam says since it could happen, and since it many times happens, it'll always be mukshir, even if no juice came out at all. And Hillel says, loy mukshir. It doesn't become mukshir, because you weren't looking to press the grapes at this point. Amlei Hillel l'shamay. So Hillel said to Shamay, and we'll just have to give introduction terminology. In Hebrew, there are different words for cutting grapes and for cutting olives. For cutting grapes, the word is betzira. And for cutting olives, the word is mesika. Asks Hillel to Shammai, Neima boitzim betara, veimosk betara. If you're making such a gzera, so why don't you make a gzera by olives too? And Tosfos says, what taka is pshat in Hillel? What taka is pshat in Shammai that differentiates between olives and grapes? So Tosfos says, by grapes, the juice that comes out, no matter if you want or you don't want it, it's grape juice. By olives, the juice that just flows out by itself is not considered olive oil, it's just considered moil. And that's why it's not the quality there. So Hillel says, so the way the Mefarshim explained Hillel's question to Shammai, if you're making gzeiros, so make another gzeiros. Make a gzera that you should even by olive oil, that the olives that are in a basket should be all considered hukshir. And according to the Rambam's pshat in the Gemara, the Gemara's question is great, because the Rambam says even if no juice came out, we already considered a hukshir. So it says, hey, if no juice comes out and you already considered a hukshir, so the same thing should be olives, and even if nothing comes out, why don't you consider it hukshir? Omle, so how does Shammai respond to Hillel? Imtak nitaini, if you're going to push me, gizrani tumaf la masika. I'm going to taka say gzeir even on the masika. And Taisa says that's taka what Shammai did. The first Shammai said the halacha on the grapes, and then after Hillel said, you know, if you're going with gzeir, go all the way. So Shammai said, you're right, and they made gzeir even of aleph. So says the Gemara, natsu cherev beis hamedrash. They put a sword down in the beis hamedrash. That's what they used to do before they took a vote. Oma nichnes yichnes. Whoever wants to come in can come in. Have a yoytze a yoytze. Nobody's allowed to leave the Beis Medrash. Voice a yoyim ha yohol kofuf. That day Hillel was subservient. The yoyshu lefnei Shammai, sat lefnei Shammai, techem and atamidim. Shammai prevailed. Vayikosh li Yisrael, ki yoyim shenas by eagle. And it was such a terrible day to Klai Yisrael, like the day of an eagle. So, Rashi says, that what was Hillel? Hillel was a Nasi and he was very modest. So the Sfasemis asks if he was modest, so then he was ready to accept somebody else should prevail. So why was it so bad? So the Sfasemis said because Hillel had this tremendous midah, being able and being modest, that's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu protects you. Somebody who's tough, the Eibishter doesn't go out of his way to protect him. Somebody who's soft like Hillel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes out of the way to protect. After Chasam Sofer, and why was it so by Yikasha Yisrael Kiyoyim of the Eagle? What happened by the Eagle, says the Chasam Sofer? By the Eagle, Klai Yisrael was able to push, because Aaron was soft, and Klai Yisrael pushed Aaron to agree to make the Eagle, we know what happened. Hillel, when a leader of Klai Yisrael is too soft, the repercussions can be very serious, just like it was by the Eagle. Continues the Gemara. The Gaza Shammai v'Hillel. So at that point, since Shammai won, they made the gzeira of like kiblu minayu. It was not accepted by Klal Yisrael. V'asu talmidayu. But now we come to our mishnah of the Yud Ches Tavar, where the talmidai Shammai, the Beis Shammai, repeated this gzeira, the kiblu minayu, and then it was mekubal. My tama. What's the reason they made this gzeira? Amar zeira amar chenina gzeira shemi yiftzrena bekupas tameyus. We learned that for something to be mukhsh l'kabal tumah, we expressed this already. The pasuk in the Torah is a very ambiguous pasuk. The word in the Torah is Yud Tov Nun, Yitan. Now, there's a difference how you pronounce the word. If it says Yitain, it means you have to actually put on the water with intent. Yutan means we don't know how to pronounce it, known the Kudus. It's as long as the water gets there. So we say it has to be to satisfaction. That's the halacha. That to some be mukshur, you had to be satisfied with the water or the liquid being machshrit. But there is an exception to that rule, says the Gemara. Let's say you have a keli, that the keli is tamei, and then the fruit, the grapes, let's talk about grapes, in that keli, get wet. So therefore, even if you didn't intend that they should get wet, the fact that it's in a keli, the keli gives a chshivas to the mashkin that should be able to be machshir and be matama the grapes. And that's what we're worried about, says Shammai. You may use a Talmudic Keli, and the Talmudic Keli makes that mashkin, that juice that comes out of the grapes, even if you don't want that juice, a juice that's mashed to the grape. That's why Shammai said that under all circumstances, when you are carrying grapes in a Keli, the grapes are considered mukhshar. Gzer Shem Yitzirena B'kubas Tameis. Ask the Gemara, Hanich L'manda Amar Kli Tamei Choshe Mashkin. Like we just explained, that a Keli that Tomei always has the ability to be machshiv, to give a chshivas to the liquid, even if you're not interested in that liquid, shaper. So now we have a very good understanding in Shammai's gzeira. Then order for mashkin to be machshiv, you have to want those mashkin. In the absence of wanting that mashkin, you don't have machshiv. So then just because you use the Tomei Keli, but if you didn't want that juice, how did the grapes become mukshir? You may use insulated kalim. What's an insulated kalim? You're saying that you don't want any of the juice that may come out from the grapes pressing on each other to get lost. If you're saying that, then that means you do want the juice. Otherwise, why would you use an insulated kalim? If you want the juice, that means you're making the grapes wet, the kavana. That's why they become moksha. The Rambam is even better. The Rambam says, since you have these situations, we made a rule under all circumstances. Even if it's dry, but I made one rule for all. I'll tell you where the question would be. What would be, Tosfos Rishonim says it, what would be if you're taking grapes not to make juice out of them, you're taking grapes to make raisins out of them? So, if you're going to say this pshat, the Tosfos Rishonim says, it'll still be mukhshar. Because if you're using a Talmudic Keli is machshav. Even if you have no interest in the juice. Similarly, if you're using insulated keli, why are you using insulated keli? Even though you're making raisins, but why are you going out of your way? For raisins, you don't need insulated not to lose any liquid. Obviously, that liquid is something that pleases you. But the next reason is, Ravam Gzer Mishma Noishchus. Sometimes the grapes are very tightly pressed against each other. So what a person does is he squeezes them, he puts his fingers in between, and juice comes out. Now, Rashi explains that juice must come out. There's no way to put your fingers between a tightly packed cluster of grape without juice coming out. So Rashi uses the word psikresha. Since it's inevitable, it must happen, that's called rotzen. That's called something you want, and that's why that liquid will match the grapes. Rav Nachman Amar Rav Pamim Shadam Hayochel Kamoi. So Rav Nachman explains, sometimes a person goes to his vineyard, lay the Megiyah Novim L'Betzira Lav, to see if the grapes ripened. The Noitel Eshka Novim L'Sachta, so he takes a cluster of grapes to squeeze him. Umezalach Agava Novim. And the, what does he do with that juice? That juice goes on the other grapes, because he doesn't want to lose that juice. B'Shash B'Tzira Adayim Mashka Tefecheleim. That juice was juice that has two milas. Number one, it's inevitable that that juice should come out, because when you squeeze something, the juice will come out. And number two, you see that he likes that juice. He wants that juice. He doesn't want to lose any juice. So it's alamilas, and that's why it's machshir. But, says the Tosfos Rishonim, if this is the reasoning, if you're taking grapes just for raisins, then you don't want the juice. And according to this, grapes for raisins would not be mukshul kabel tumah, even if you squeeze them, because your kavana wasn't for juice, because you're not looking to make juice, you're looking to make raisins. Vidach, what's the next ksayah? Omer tevi rizva omer shmul, af gedule truma, truma boi b'yon gozul. Which means like this, if you take truma, you have to give a kayin truma. If you take the truma and you plant it, so does that, and we know, and we've spoken about this, whenever you plant something, it decomposes. The first decomposes, it deteriorates, and then it comes back. So the shaila is that considered a new item, and it's not truma or not? So it says the midaraisa, when something grows from new, it's a new item. But Chazal agoyza that if you plant a truma, that it's considered still truma. Ask the Gemara, my tam, why did they make this gzeira? Amar chanina gzeira mishum truma tahar b'yad Yisrael. We're worried that you'll have a Yisrael, and we're going to have what I call a frum, stingy Yisrael. In other words, he's frum. He's not going to skip giving truma, but he can't bring himself to give it to the kohen. So what I'll do is I'll separate the truma, and instead of giving it to the kohen, he'll plant it, and now it's not truma anymore, and he could use it. But if I tell him what you're planting is anyway going to be truma, so that's why he'll end up giving it to the kohen. Ask the Gemara. Amar Rava. Either chshidi lahachri, if you're worried about a stingy person, he has a different eitzah. A frushin namiloi lifusha, kivin de efshel lemevet chita aches, kedushmul, v'lekap. The halacha is like this: midaraisa there is no shiur for truma. Midaraisa the halacha is chita aches b'teres sakri. One kernel is enough. So if you're dealing with a person who's frum and stingy, he has a different eitzah. He'll just take one kernel and give it to the kohen. He doesn't have to go through the process of taking it off and then planting it. Elamai, we're talking about somebody who wants to do what's right. If he wants to do what's right, he's going to give it to the kohen and not plant it. So we're back to where we started. Why do we make the gzeira? Ask Tosfos. You know, there are two trumas. There's the regular trumas gedoyla, which midaraisa has no shear, and chitach p'teres is a kri. But there's also trumas meiser, that when you give a levi truma, he has to take 10% and give it as truma to the kohen. There, it's not chitach p'teres as a kri. There's a definite number of 10%. So there, you can't say that if he wanted to, he could have just given one chita. So Taisa says, you're right. If we were only talking about trumas meiser, this could be the reason. But Chazal made the gzeir even by truma gedoyla. Why did they make the gzeir by truma gedoyla? If this is the reason, they should have only made the gzeir by trumas meiser, not by truma gedoyla. Must be there's a different reason. What is the reason? Says the Gemara, El gzeir mishum truma tmeya biyat kohen. The halach is like this: when a kohen has truma tmeya, what does he have to do? He has to burn it. He has to burn it. This kohen will now has truma tmeya. He's supposed to burn it for fuel. But burning it for fuel is a terrible waste. What is he going to do? He'll plant it. But you can only plant something in the season for planting. So let's say it's 6 months before the planting season. He's going to have it in his house for 6 months, and there's a concern that during these 6 months, he may accidentally eat it. So Chazal tell him, if you're going to plant it, it's anyway going to have a halacha of truma. So he's going to say, if it's anyway going to have a halacha of truma, and as a machloikis will have a status of truma tmeya, but it's going to have a status of truma, and truma could only be sold to kohanim, so there's a very limited market. For that, I'm not going to hold on to it, and I'll use it up for fuel. That's why they made the gzeira. Into the Gemara, Dilma mashle gabei, he may keep it. Vosladei takala, he may make a mistake. He may come to eat it during the time that he's waiting till he plants it. Ask the achronim. The halacha is that truma tamei has to be burnt. So if truma tamei, if tamei has to be burnt, so why is the Gemara saying you worry that he's going to keep it in his house for 6 months and then use it? He's supposed to burn it. What about that halacha? Oh, so some achronim, very good, say that there's no chiyuv in the rice to burn it. The whole din of burning is not a chiyuv. Others want to say that there's no specific din to burn it. The din is to get rid of it. And we said before, when you plant something, it decomposes. So you got rid of it that way. So the problem of being over the chiyuv to get rid of the truma, you've resolved. The only problem is you may come chas v'shalom to use it if it's sitting unused in your home. Vidach, what's the next halacha? Somebody's walking on the road and it becomes Shabbos. Nois and kisel and nachri, and he has his wallet. Now, Chazal understood human nature. They understood to tell a person to leave his wallet with his money and his credit cards and his license on the street is very hard to tell a person. So now we have to tell him what to do. So we really, and to Rishus Rabbim. So we really have one of two etzes. Either he should give it to a guy, or he should carry it, pachas pachas medalan amas. Keep on walking less than dalan amas. So Chazal said, give it to the guy, and don't walk pachas pachas medalan amas. Because you know, when you're dealing with dalan amas, it's very easy to make a mistake and walk past the dalan amas, and you have a chiv deraisa. That's why they said, preferably give it to the guy. That's what he says. Mishach shlo bederech, nois and kisel and nachri, give it to the guy, and don't carry pachas pachas medalan amas, by b'yom gazrum. So the way the Rosh explains the Gemara, this Gemara is not talking about Friday afternoon. It's talking when it's already Shabbos night. And since it's Shabbos night and you're not allowed to carry, on Friday afternoon you don't have to come on to this. The other Rishonim say it's talking about Friday afternoon. Vidach, what's the next? Omer Bali, Omer Vi, Sasuna, Piton, the bread of Goyim, the Shamnam, the oil of Goyim, the Yainon, and the wine of Goyim, Ubnesein means the daughters, Kulma Yet Chastofer. So let's explain. Bread means the bread baked by a goy. But the halach lamaisa is the bread baked by a goy in his house, pas palabatim, is prohibited. You can't have a heter. Pas pelta, which means bread baked by a goyish baker, is not exerted that all of Klai Yisrael's makabel, the Ramah says. Some people, especially Sesh Mechuva, others all year round eat it. Shamnam means that originally they made exerted, you're not allowed to use the oil of a guy. Again, why were these gzeres made? These gemaras from Sakta Vadazara, because they wanted to limit social interaction with goyim. So all the staple items they kept, they said you can't get from a guy, and that'll keep us limited. Yena means the wine, and Tysus explains here that wine is something that was used for Vadazara, and wine could bring to frivolity. So that's why they were especially careful about all wine, even wine that wasn't used for Vadazara. Obnesein doesn't mean marrying their daughter, because marrying the daughter is asma deraisa. The same means yichud, being in seclusion with a non-Jewish woman. Kol mi yudches tavehim. That's our yudches tavehim. Not a Gemara reviews. Han nichle Rameya. Everything is fine according to Rameya, and you make the cheshbon. You have yudches tavehim. But we learned today and yesterday. The question was, what about the nois kutin anidois from the day they're born? If you'll make the cheshbon, you'll see that you have to include that into the Yud Ches Tavar. You also have to include how we got into this whole sugya, the Mishnah and Daf Yud Aleph, and Karen Lerner, that you're not allowed to read on Shabbos by Lerner, then Poilin Lerner, you're not allowed to take off lice. And the halacha, why are those considered two gzeiros? Just for the record, the Rishonim say, because Ein Karen, I would think maybe you're allowed to read, because you know, if you're not allowed to read by RNA, you're not going to be able to learn and daven. Kamashma, even if it means learning and davening, it's still one of the Yud Ches Tavar. Ein Poilin, it's very uncomfortable to go around with the God and then have lice in it. So maybe I would think I can be Mako. Kamashma, that's still from the Yud Ches Tavar. And Pitam, Yenam, Vishamnam, it's all one gzeiro. And if you count them all together, you only have 18. You'll have 18 if you include the gzeir that we learned yesterday about Mayim Shuvim in the pail, passing the mitzvah. But yesterday we learned, according to Rabbi Yossi, that he doesn't agree with that gzeirah. So then if he doesn't agree with that, we're still down to 17. What's he going to do? Hanichler Ameya. El Rabbi Yossi was short one, Shifsar Havya. Answers the Gemara, Ikahadar of Achabar Ada. Damar of Achabar Ada, Amar of Yitzchak, Gazra al Pita Mishim Shamnam. Chazal first said that the bread of Akam is also because of the oil of Akam. Val Shamnam Mishim Yenam, and their oil because of the wine. Val Pitam, Val Shamnam Mishim Yenam. Ask the Gemara, al Pita Mishim Shamnam. We just said that they prohibited the bread of Akam because of the oil of Akam. Ask the Gemara, my Omei the Shem in the past. And the way we explain the Gemara is beautiful. We said, why did Chazal prohibit these items? Because they wanted to limit the social interaction. So why is there more interaction by olives oil, by oil, not olive, by oil, versus bread? Bread is an important food item, and oil is a food item. Says the Gemara, you're right. Gazar pita v'shamnam. They made the gzer both on the bread and on the oil at the same time. Why? Mishum yenam, because of the wine. Vayenam, and why did they make the gzer of wine? Mishum nesem. Everything to limit the interaction. From the same mishum davar acher. And why would they gozer on yichud? Because of avodah zara. Val davar acher, and on that mishum davar acher. Ask the Gemara, what does that mean? My davar acher. Amram nachem by yitzchak gozer tinek nachri. They were gozer on every non-Jewish child, shmatam b'ziva, that he should be considered a zav from when he's a little child, even though it's highly unlikely that he actually had a zav mission. Why did they make the gzeira? Shleitenik Yisrael, rog etzav mishkav zachar. We wanted to keep the Jewish boys away from them. They shouldn't come to any homosexuality issues. Ask the Gemara. Very good. So now we found the 18th one, that every tinot nachri is considered a zav. But Rameir also agrees with that gzeira. So according to Rameir, we already have one too many. Now up to 19. Yehachal Rameir nami tishris rehavi. It's 19. Answers the Gemara. Oichel mekelim shenifu mashkin. We learned back on Daf Yudalid on the base, that oichel, that the food that's touched by a mashkin will become tamei. And we learned another thing, that a keli to become tamei from mashka, that's tamei. That makes even so that those two he considers as one. B'chad d'chashalu he considers as one. There's a very big problem with this girsa. The Ritva asked this question. That's the way Rashi learns the Gemara. The Ritva says these are totally two separate gzeiros. That an oichel becomes tamei from mashkin, and that a keli can become tamei mashkin. Two separate rules. One is that a mashkin becomes a rishon. And one is that even though midaraisa, as we explained in Daf Yudalid, kalim should not be able to makabel tuma, still chazav from mashkin, still chazav said that it can. So why are they considered one? So according to Rashi, they're considered one because they both deal with mashkin. So Ritva says it's a different one. We learned that a different gzera, that if somebody eats an oich, if somebody eats a oichel rishon or oichel sheni, or he drinks a mashkin which is a rishon or sheni, we said it became tamei. If you remember when you learned the Gemara in Daf Yudalid, what was the reasoning for that? Because we're worried that let's say somebody's eating an oichel that's tamei and will drink tamei, drink trumadiga wine along with it, or vice versa. He may be drinking trumadiga wine and then take a tamadiga oichel into his mouth. So both of them are really two sides of the same coin, that you're eating tar diga item and drinking tamei, or vice versa. So if anything that should be considered one, the Ritva says that makes more sense to be considered the two gzeres that I'll combine into one. So they're both combining Rashi and the Ritva are both, the Gemara are combining two gzeres into one. The question is which of the gzeres that we learned from Daf Yudalid are being combined. Rashi says one in the Gemara, he says the Halacha, if you eat tamei diga oichel or if you drink tamei diga mashkin, you become tamei. Begins the Mishnah. We go back to Masech to Shabbos. B'sham Amr Ein Sharon De Yoav Yisam Mon V'kar Shemminim El Kadei Sheyishur Mi Bajoy. The halacha is, you're not allowed to make ink. The yoy is ink. You're not allowed to make ink on Shabbos. How did they make ink? They used to take soot, scrape it off a utensil, combine it with oil, and you had a mass. That mass, as we'll see in the Gemara tomorrow, creating that mass is considered lisha, kneading with a K. And that's a malacha. So the halacha is that you're not allowed to do that on Shabbos. Comes along in Beis Shammai and says you're not allowed to even do that on Erev Shabbos and have that process in your kelim. Why? So the Shammai says that there's a din of Shvisas Kalim. Then not only are you not allowed to do Melach on Shabbos, but even your Kalim, even your utensils are not allowed to do. So that's why he says that you're only allowed to do this process, that it should become ink, or it should become kashina, means with a vetch of the animal fatter, that that's the way they did it. They combined it with food and turned it into a mush. El Kadesh Yishurim by Joim, unless it was completed from process from Erev Shabbos. But it's still a material, because they still say you could do Melach from Erev Shabbos. If, as, and there's no Ian Shvisas Kalim. Nova Alocha. You can't put flax into the furnace unless they get hot from Erev Shabbos. What's the malacha here? Some say the malacha is melabein, whitening, because the purpose of doing this is to whiten the linen. Others say that it is cooking, because you have to heat it up. You're not allowed to put wool into the pot to dye it. As long as the dye gets absorbed from Erev Shabbos. Why? Because if it's going to happen on Shabbos, it's going to be a problem that your Kalim are working on Shabbos. But still Matirim, because I still don't have a problem with Shvisas Kalim. Ask the Rishonim, what's new in the second Machlaikas that we didn't learn in the first Machlaikas? So they say, very nice. Beis Tzil, as we will learn tomorrow, agree that you can't put food in a pot on Erev Shabbos if it's not cooked. Why? Because we're worried, Shem Yechata, you may stir the coals. So here's also a form of cooking. So the Chiddush is, even though by human consumption, Beis Hillel is Machmor and Shem Yechata, not on this. This is flax and wool. Next thing. Beis Shammai Oimrim, Ein Parsim Tzudas Chayis V'Oivus Dogim, you can't put out traps, El Kadesh Yitzodim V'Yem, unless the trap will catch the animal or bird from Erev Shabbos. Beis Hillel Matirim. So first of all, what's the Chiddush here? Again, what's new? It's the same machlokes, Shvisas Kalim. So the Rishonim say, here, not only is the malach, is your Kali doing malacha, your Kali is doing an active malacha. In the previous cases, you just left something in a pot. Here, your trap is actually, so to speak, working on Shabbos. Maybe over here, I would think, Beis Hillel agrees that there's a problem with Shvisas Kalim. Kamashmon, there isn't. So there's a very fundamental Taisus here. Taisus discusses, when you put out a trap, you don't know if anything's going to be caught. So why putting out a trap is awesome? So on Shabbos, I could understand it should be awesome with Rabbanon. But if something's only awesome with Rabbanon on Shabbos, putting out a trap is not actual trapping. It's only, hopefully you'll catch something. So then on Friday, how's Beis Shammai Goyzer on something which even on Shabbos isn't a deraisa? So Taisa says, we're talking about a situation that you put out in a trap where a lot of animals, and it's certainly going to trap something. So the machlokes, Avni Nezer and Sfasem is how to learn Peshat and Taisus. The Avni Nezer learns Peshat and Taisus that since it's so probable that you're going to catch an animal, given the circumstances, the environment, that's enough to be considered Seder, even though it didn't actually do anything on the spot. The Sfasem says that's not enough. It's still only a grumma. So he explains Taisus, there's so many animals that the moment you put out the trap, the animal falls in. But if in the absence of that, says the Sfasemis, you wouldn't have to say the Midaraisa. So according to this, just putting out a trap is not the Raisa. Even in according to Sfasemis, even just putting out a trap in a house where there's a lot of, in a place where there's a lot of animals, is not necessarily considered Seder, because you didn't do it Peshas Maisa. Next. Ein Moichel Nochri. You're not allowed to sell something to a non-Jew. You can't put something on his animal. You can't put something on him. That means you have to let him be able to leave your house Friday in enough time that he should get somewhere else. We'll define Lamakum Karv in the Gemara. Here it has nothing to do with a malacha, because you didn't do a malacha here. What's the issa here? The issa here is that if somebody will see a guy walking out of your house, according to Beis Shammai, so close to Shabbos with articles, they'll think that the guy is working on your behalf. You have your business open on Shabbos. So it's gzeira, they said you can't do it on Friday afternoon. Beis Shammai ain't nice in Iris L'Avdan. You can't give leather, you can't give hides to a tanner. You can't give clothing to a cleaner. El Kadesh Yasmin by Jem. You can't give something to a cleaner on Friday unless he could finish cleaning it on time for Shabbos. But if it's impossible for him to finish it by cleaning before Shabbos, you're not allowed to give it to him. As long as you don't tell him to do it on Shabbos. That means you have to give it to him. If Beis Hillel will agree that if you give something to a cleaner 5 minutes before Shabbos, to a non-Jewish cleaner, and you're telling him, I'm picking it up Matzoi Shabbos, so he must do it on Shabbos, Beis Hillel will agree that it's awesome because the guy's not allowed to work on your behalf on Shabbos. Here we're talking where you'll give it to him before Shabbos, but you're only going to pick it up not Sunday, you'll pick it up Monday. So as far as you're concerned, he could have cleaned it on Sunday. That he chose to do it on Shabbos is a dat de nafshe. That's his decision. It's not your decision. Beis Hillel matirim chashemesh, you can give it to him right before Shabbos. In fact, the Achrayim ask, what about Tois to Shabbos? Imeshesh means a minute before Shabbos. Isn't there a chiv of Tois to Shabbos? So there's two answers. One answer is that Tois to Shabbos is not the Raisa. Only Tois to Yom Kippurim is the Raisa. Another teretz is that Tois to Shabbos you could do with a few seconds. So the Mishnah doesn't mention it. Amar of Shimon Gamliel. Nahagin hoy beis abba, shenoysen kli, lovin l'kaivis, nochri. My father's family, they were machon like beis shamai, that they were careful to give their white articles of clothing shloish yom kodim l'shabbos, only 3 days before Shabbos, because it took 3 days to clean. They were machon like beis shamai, that they had to have it done before Shabbos. B'shavin elu ve'elu, they both agree beis shamai beis hillel, as much as they're arguing, shetan and kares beis abad ve'gulei gas. The way they used to press grapes and olives was that they used to crush them and the juice would come out, and then that they would put big beams on top of them. Those beams don't do the crushing. The crushing was done. They just keep the process. They expedite it. That's not considered that your keli, even according to Beis Shammai, is doing melacha on Shabbos, and that Beis Shammai will agree you're allowed to do on Friday afternoon. There's a very important Tosfos. Tosfos discusses here about a non-Jew doing construction work for a Jew on Shabbos. So Tosfos says like this. I'll give you a brief summary. Tosfos says like this. If the minig in where you are is that the non-Jew doesn't get paid by the day. He gets paid by the job. You hire him, build a house, and I'll pay you for the house. So if that's the minig, everybody knows that that's the way it works, then it may be permitted. Certainly permitted outside the city where people don't know it's your house. If some people pay by the job and some people pay by the day, certainly Teichat Chum, where everybody knows that this is your house or this is your property, and they see a non-Jew building on your property, and they don't know that you're paying him by the job, they may think that you're paying him by the day, and you're not allowed to have a Jew work on your behalf, a non-Jew work on your behalf for Shabbos. He's not allowed to do it. Chutzot chum, where people don't know it's yours and you're paying him by the job, Mikra Adin would be mutter. But Tosfos says Rabbeinu Tam was machmer not to do it. And it's not only, and that's halacha on anything that's karka and any thing connected to the ground. You're not allowed to have a non-Jew, where everybody knows that this is your property, you're not allowed to have a non-Jew work for you, because people will think the non-Jew is working by the day, and is your shliach to work on Shabbos.